经常还是能够感受到。
Most of us know what it is like to have given up something precious because we believe in a cause.
我们大家都知道啊，有时候因着一个原因，我们会放弃一些我们珍视的东西。
Or we have taken a risk because we think it might bring us greater returns.
或者有时候我们承受了一些风险，是因着我们相信会有更大的回报。
Sometimes we sacrifice for ourselves.
有时候我们是为我们自己而牺牲。
But other times we feel compelled to sacrifice for others.
有时候我们感觉到我们不得不为别人而牺牲。
We work hard so that our kids can have a better life.
我们辛苦劳作，为了我们的孩子会有一个更好的未来。
But sometimes we wonder if they understand our sacrifice because of how they act in response to it.
有时候看到孩子对我们的表现，我们就不知道到底他们是不是理解我们为他们做的那些牺牲。
Let me give you an example.
让我给大家一个例子。
Early in my days of ministry, I had a roommate named Mario.
在我做侍奉早期侍奉的时候，我有一个室友，名字是马里奥。
Mario's family was originally from Mexico.
马里奥的他的家人最初是来自墨西哥。
And as you can imagine, they worked very hard to save enough money and get the right documents to be able to immigrate into the United States.
就像你能想象的，他们在墨西哥是辛苦工作，所以能攒够足够的钱，能获得那些那个文件，然后可以移民到美国来。
And it was all based on what they wanted to provide for their son Mario.
这都是基于他们想为他们的孩子马里奥所提供的。
They wanted him to succeed, but they were often scared about the distractions that Mario might find on the way.
所以他们想让马里奥呢，将来有个成功的人生，但是他们也担心马里奥会被一些事情给吸引，会那个转移他的注意力。
But Mario was smart.
马里奥很聪明。
And he worked hard.
他也很勤奋。
And he got into Rice University.
他进到大米大学，赖斯大学读书。
And there he completed a degree in mechanical engineering.
在那儿他完成了一个机械工程的学位。
And after he graduated, he got a very nice job with Shell.
他毕业以后，他找到了一个很好的工作，是在壳牌石油。
And everybody was happy.
每个人都很高兴。
But something just didn't quite fit.
但有些事呢就不是很合拍。
Mario's parents' dream didn't turn out to be God's dream for Mario.
所以马里奥他父母对他的希望，和神对马里奥的希望是不一样。
So Mario quit his job.
所以马里奥呢就辞了职。
And Mario took a ministry position where he had to raise financial support.
所以他就去筹钱去做了，加入了一个传道事工。
And Mario started working to help share the gospel with students in a ministry.
所以马里奥就开始在学就是做学生事工，在学生中传福音。
And then Mario came upon a frightful day where he had to go sit with his parents and tell them that he was going back to Mexico to work with students there.
直到有一天呢，马里奥呢，有了这样一个很吓人的时刻，他不得不和他父母坐在一起，然后坦白地告诉他父母，他要想回到墨西哥去做福音事工。
Try to put yourself in the shoes of Mario's parents.
你试图你能舍身处地的为马里奥的父母想想。
And maybe some of you have already been in these very shoes.
或许你们中间坐的有些人已经有这样的情况。
But think about to try to make sense of the sacrifices that they made.
那去想一想，他们这个马里奥的父母要做多大的牺牲为这事。
Were they worth it?
值得吗？
From a worldly perspective, I think that question is very difficult to answer.
从一个世界的角度，我想这个问题很难回答。
But in the end, they were very glad that Mario was following God's will.
但最后，马里奥的父母还是很高兴马里奥可以去寻求神的旨意。
And they were happy that he wanted to make a difference in other people's lives.
啊，他们也很高兴马里奥呢改变了许多别人的人生。
When it looked like Mario's education and path and the parents' sacrifices were wasted, it turns out that they were not.
尽管表面看起来马里奥父母所做的牺牲，马里奥受的教育和他的人生轨迹都是浪费了，但其实不是那样。
Because today Mario lives in Paris.
今天呢，马里奥生活在巴黎。
And he helps very smart French students at the Sorbonne understand a relationship with Jesus.
所以今天呢，他在那个萨邦这个地方帮助很多聪明的法国学生去认识耶稣。
For me, this story has kind of an interesting connection with a passage of scripture that we're going to look at today.
所以我刚才讲这个故事呢，有一个很有趣的连接到今天我要讲的经文。
Up front, I want to tell you it's a very strange passage.
我先上来想告诉大家，这一段经文呢是一个很奇怪的经文。
As a confession, I have to tell you it's one that I don't fully understand myself.
我必须坦白的讲，这段经文我自己也不完全明白。
And when I read this passage, I can kind of have a physical response to it.
就当我读这个经文的时候，我几乎会有一个身体上的反应。
It's kind of like watching a YouTube video where people are doing something crazy.
就有点像你看一个 YouTube 上的短片，那里面人们做一些很疯狂的事情。
Maybe they're climbing something high or bungee jumping or something like this.
或许他们是在爬到一个很高的地方，然后蹦极再跳下来。
And something within me just wants to say, no, don't do it.
对，我这个身体里面总是有个东西想说别做这事。
The story actually makes me a little tense.
是这个故事其实是让我有点紧张。
But I think that there are some jewels of wisdom that can help our lives benefit.
但是我想这个故事里面也有一些智慧的瑰宝可以让我们的人生变得更好。
It's a story that helps us to know the difference between the dreams we have for ourselves and the dreams that God has planned for us.
所以这个故事呢，也可以告诉我们，这个有时候我们自己的梦想和神对我们的计划中间是有一个区别。
So turn with me to 2 Samuel 23, and we're going to read the passage just after what we read this morning.
现在呢，大家和我一起翻开撒母耳记下23章，然后我们接着读刚才我们读过那些经文。
But let me give a little context to this passage, so maybe we can understand it a little better.
让我给大家一个这段经文的背景，以便我们能够更好的理解它。
This is a passage that happens at the very end of David's life.
这段经文描述的是发生在大卫最年老的日子。
As a matter of fact, the passage that we read together earlier were the last known words of what David had said.
事实上呢，我们刚读过那段经文呢，就是我们现在已知的大卫最后说的一些话。
It was written in the form of a poem, which isn't so strange if you think about David having written much of the Psalms.
他的写作形式是一个诗篇，那这个并不奇怪，因为我们都知道大卫一生写了很多诗篇。
And it's about how God had established David's throne as an eternal line for the coming Messiah.
所以这个是这个是关于大神怎么建立大卫的王位，它是一个就永久计划中的一部分，直到有一天弥赛亚会来。
It's a passage about how God accomplished everything that he said he would.
所以这段经文也讲述是神怎么去完成他的应许。
But what follows in the next few chapters are really just some stories that fill in the background of David's life both before and after he was king.
后面的几章呢，讲的这个故事呢，就是一个背景，讲述的是大卫在做王以前和以后的一些仪式。
These are stories that are kind of like those stories that are told maybe at a funeral.
这种故事的往往是那种在葬礼上讲的故事。
Or maybe stories that are told at a reunion.
或者是一个大家聚会，老友重聚的时候讲的一些故事。
Whether the stories are told on stage or maybe just in a gathering of friends reminiscing about some of the glory days of high school.
所以有时候这个故事是讲在老友重聚的时候，你在站在台上去讲一些，你们的曾经在高中时候的光辉岁月的事情。
And it just fills in kind of the story, of who David was and who his friends were.
所以这些故事讲的就是，通过这些故事，我们知道大卫是个什么样的人，他的朋友是什么样的人。
Now we know from the Bible that David ran around with a pretty rough crowd.
从圣经里面我们知道，大卫经常在他身边是一些很彪悍的人。
And many of his friends seem more like hooligans or outcasts.
所以有时候他的一些大卫的朋友看起来就像一些那些流氓啊，或者什么怪杰呀。
And out of these people, many of them were known as David's mighty men, but a few of them, because of their valiant behavior.Had risen to the top and were simply known as the three.
所以大卫身边有很多英勇的人物，但这其中呢有那么几个，他们是这个里面最拔尖的，我们就有时候就叫他们这三勇士。
And they had some pretty impressive resumes.
他们有一个非常惊人的履历表。
We have to understand that the times.Then were different than times are now, and it was an era of war.
我们现在要理解他们那时候的时代背景和今天是不一样的。他们那个时候是一个战争的年代。
It was during this period of history that Israel spent a lot of time fighting their arch enemy, the Philistines.
在那个时代呢，这个以色列人花了很多时间和他们的宿敌腓力士人作战。
So that the way someone would become respected in this day was to be courageous, especially when others were falling away.
所以那个时代呢，那些最被别人尊重的人呢，就是那些特别勇敢的人，尤其是当别人退缩的时候。
Courage was the mark of a leader then, and in some similar but different ways, that's also true for us today.
所以勇气呢，就是那个时代的那些领袖的记号。某种程度上来讲，今天还是这样。
So let's read a passage and see if we can get to know a few of David's closest friends.
那现在让我们大家读经文，看我们是不是能够了解一些大卫这些最亲密的朋友。
And I apologize up front for picking a passage that has many difficult names.
这段经文里面有很多很难读的拗口的名字为道歉。
The first of David's friends we're just going to call Josh.
我们第一个这个大卫这个朋友我们就简称他是约瑟。
And so these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Josh, he was from a difficult place to say, and he was the chief of the three. He wielded his spear against 800 men whom he killed at one time.
所以这个大卫这个勇士呢，他来自一个地方，这名字也就很难拗口，就不说了。他呢是一个军队的统领，有一次他一次杀死了800人。
The second friend, the second mighty man was, we'll call him Eliezer, okay?
所以二号勇士呢，我们就叫他伊利亚撒。
And it said he was the son of Dodo, the son of Ahohi. He was with David when they defied the Philistines who were struck, who were gathered for battle, and the men of Israel withdrew. He rose and struck down the Philistine until his hand was weary, and his hand clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And the men returned after him only to strip the slain.
所以呢，第二个就是亚和人。朵多的儿子以利亚撒，从前腓力士人上来聚集要打仗，以色列人迎着上去，然后这个以利亚撒呢，他就起来击杀腓力士人，直到手臂疲乏，手粘住刀把， 那日以色列是以色那列那日以色列人大获全胜，众民在以利亚撒后面跟着抢夺财物。
And next to him was Shema, the son of Agi the Hararite. The Philistines gathered together at Lehi, where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the men fled from the Philistines, but he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines. And the Lord worked a great victory.
第三位勇士呢是沙马，所以有一日呢，非利士人聚集成群，在一块长满红豆的田里，众民就在非利士人面前逃跑，沙马却站在那田间击杀非利士人，救护了那田，耶和华使以色列人大获全胜。
So with all of these incredible mighty men, this is what it took to become the top three guys.
所以在这些所有这些大能的勇士里面，这三个人呢是最杰出的三勇士。
So Josh was credited with killing 800 men with a spear.
所以约瑟呢是用了他的枪一次杀死800人。
Eleazar was credited with being so valiant that he fought so hard that when he was done, they couldn't even take the spear out of his hand because his hand had clung to the hilt of the spear.
所以以利亚撒所出名闻名的是他这么英勇的作战，一直战斗到手臂疲乏，连他的手都粘在刀把上。
And Shema or Sham stood his ground.And battled on all sides and won a great victory.
所以这个沙马呢，他就是站稳脚跟，和各方敌人一直打仗，直到那日大获全胜。
Who these men were have bearing on our story about David today.
所以这些人的所作所为呢，就和大卫的事迹在一起，一直传到今天。
And what they were willing to sacrifice for their king.
而且你看会看到他们愿意为他们的。王所做的牺牲。
So let's read about David and his response.
现在我们读一下大卫还有大卫他的一些回应。
It says, and the three of the 30 chief men went down and came about at harvest time to the David at the cave of Adullam, when a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of the Rephaim. David was then in a stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem.And David said longingly, Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate.
所以收割的时候，有三十个勇士中的三个人下到亚杜兰洞见大卫。非利士的军兵在利伐因谷安营。那时大卫在山寨，非利士人的防营在伯利恒。大卫可想说，甚愿有人将伯利恒城门旁井里的水打来给我喝。
So let me explain this picture of what's happening.
让我给大家解释一下当日所发生的事情的画面。
So Israel was at war with the Philistines.
当时以色列人是在和非利士人打仗。
And David was actually camped outside the city of his birthright.
所以大卫呢，他的是扎营在。这个城市外面这个城市呢是大卫已经有了他的这个管辖权吧。
David was supposed to be king already, but he was busy fighting the enemy of the Philistines.
所以那个时候大卫呢应该已经是当王了，但他还是在很忙活着和非利士人打仗。
In essence, he was doing the job of the king without any spoils of the king.
所以其实他是在在做那些一个王应该做的事情，尽管呢他并没有享受一个王所应该有的特权。
Instead, he was in a semi-renovated cave that had been turned into a stronghold.
所以他当时住的地方其实就是一个半装修的一个洞穴，他用这个当做他的据点。
The passage mentions that it was summertime.
这个经文说当时是夏天。
The time of harvest in that area.
那是那个地方收割的时候。
And as he looks out into the city that belonged to him,
所以大卫当时就看到那个城，应该本来应该属于他的那座城。
His enemy was literally drinking his wine, eating his fruit, eating his food.
所以他的那些敌人呢，当时正在吃本属于大卫的粮，然后喝本属于大卫的酒。
All while living in his city.
那些人都住在本属于大卫的城里。
Sometimes I try to step back and watch a story like this unfold in my mind's eye.
所以有时候我就想在我的脑海里面，我就说退一步来看看，这个事情的一个全景。
And when I do that, I sense that David, looking at all of this that is happening, he speaks something out loud that I'm not even sure he knew he was saying verbally.
所以那个时候我就看到，在这个时候大卫呢说了一些话，他就说了一些话，我都不确定他是不是知道他说这些话的真实意思。
And he longingly says, Oh, that someone would give me water out of the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate.
那时候大卫说了这样的话，他说，哦，甚愿有人将伯利恒城门旁井里的水打给我喝。
So we have to ask ourselves some questions.
所以我们这时候会问我们自己一些问题。
What is David thirsty for?
大卫到底是想渴望什么？
Is it really just the water?
他只是真的要这些水吗？
Was the well really that good?
或者是那口井就真的那么好吗？
Was he really that thirsty?
或者大卫真的就那么渴吗？
Or was David's longing for something larger, something else?
还是其实大卫是在渴望一些别的东西？
Was he longing for success?
是他渴望一个成功？
Was he longing for the kingdom that God had already promised?
还是他现在就那时就渴望神已经应许给他的国？
For me, it goes beyond just David's temporal thirst.
所以对我来讲呢，大卫所渴慕的事情呢，已经不是他那个当时的那个口渴的状况。
He was having one of those moments in life that he was longing for everything.To be made right.
所以那个时候是他一生中的一些这个一个时刻，在那个时刻他是想渴望就所有的事情呢都会按他想的去发生。
David was longing for the promises of God to become true.
所以大卫当时所渴慕的就是神早先应许给他的事情，他科目那个应许马上发生。
See, back in 2 Samuel 7, God had promised David an enduring kingdom.
所以回到那个撒母耳记下面早些的时候，神已经应许给大卫他的国了。
One that would produce a king that would rule for eternity.
而且在他的国度的延续里面会产生一个王，那个王的国度呢会持续到永久。
And even though David believed in the promise,
即便大卫相信这个神的应许，
he couldn't even drink from the water of the city that represented that promise.
但当时的情况就是他甚至都不能去喝一口那个已经许给他的城里面的水。
So he says something out loud.
所以他就大声说了一些他说的话。
David's three mighty men couldn't handle it.
所以他的这三勇士呢不能忍受。
They couldn't handle their leader longing for anything that he couldn't have.
所以他们不能忍受这样一个情况，他们的首领想要的东西却得不到。
And actually, that's kind of convicting to me already.
但实际上那个情况对我也很扎心。
I know that Jesus, who is my king, longs to gather his children into a relationship with himself.
我知道耶稣是我的王，我知道耶稣呢，他想渴慕的是，把很多人聚集在他的名下。
But I'm not sure that my courage and valor are matched to what these three mighty men did for their king.
但我不确信我现在的这个能力啊，勇气。能够比得上那三个勇士为他们的王所做的。
So the three guys did something crazy.
所以那三个勇士做了一件很疯狂的事。
They went off on a crazy mission to fulfill the temporal and immediate thirst of David to get him what he wanted, which was a drink of water.
所以他们就去做了一个很疯狂的，执行了一个很疯狂的任务，就是为了给他们的王大卫，喝到大卫当时想喝的那口水。
Read with me in verse 16 and 17.
跟我一起读，经这个十七十八节。
Says when the three mighty men broke through, then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried it and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did.
所以这三个勇士就闯过非利士人的营盘，从伯利恒城门旁的井里打水，拿来奉给大卫，他却不肯喝，将水垫在耶和华面前，说：耶和华，这三个人冒死去打水，这水好像他们的血一般，我断不敢喝。如此，大卫不肯喝，这是三个勇士所做的事。
Picture with me here what's happening.
和我一起想想当时发生的情景。
David and his mighty men are on one side of the valley.
大卫和他的勇士们是在那个山谷的一边。
And living in this cave or stronghold.
住在他们的那洞里也好，就是据点也好。
And these three mighty men had to crawl down from the cave and cross the valley, fighting their way across. To where the opposing army was camped.
所以那三个勇士得从他们这个山谷那边下来，然后过了山谷中间，一直和非利士人打着，过到山谷的另外一边。
Then they had to fight their way through the gate.
然后他们要一路打着打到那个城门口。
While two of them were fighting, one man had to turn and draw the water.
两个人接着和非利士人打仗的时候，第三个人去那个井里取水。
Then they had to get back to the gate, cross back across the valley, and climb back up to the cave where David was sitting.
然后他们又需要原路返回，就回到城门口，然后打着过了那个山谷，然后再爬上山谷的另外一侧，回到大卫身边。
And upon giving David the water, he refused to drink it, and he poured it out.
所以但当他们这三勇士把水给大卫的时候，大卫拒绝去喝这水，而是把这水给泼出来，倒出来，倒在地上。
If you were one of David's mighty men, what would your response have been?
所以如果你是大卫的勇士之一，你会怎么想？
Anger?
你会愤怒吗？
Astonishment?
吃惊吗？
Disappointment?
失望。
Wasted energy,
浪费你的白花劲儿了。
Or that sense of unappreciated sacrifice,
或者是觉得你的牺牲是无谓的牺牲。
I don't know about you, but I would have gone crazy.
我不知道你们会怎么样，但我会气疯了。
I would have demanded an accepting response because of the personal risk that I had endured.
所以因为我个人所承受这么大的风险，我想我会要求一个我能接受的一个回复。
I might have even lost confidence in my leader.
我可能对这个领袖已经会失去信心了。
How could it be that what I was willing to give, you were unwilling to take?
那这个我这么愿意给你提供的东西，你却不愿意接受，这是怎么回事？
Much like...The parents of Mario, my friend, they might have thought their sacrifice was wasted.
这有点像我的朋友马里奥的父母，他们可能会认为他们为他们孩子做的各种牺牲都浪费了。
But those responses would have been based on a wrong foundation of human wisdom.
但是所有这种反应呢，都是基于人类的自己的一种错误的基础。
Because life is not about what I give and take, but about what God is willing to provide for me.
因为这个我们的人生不是关乎我们个人的取舍，而是关乎神给我们的供应。
If you were David, what would have been your response?
所以如果你是大卫，那你的反应会是什么？
Astonishment?
吃惊吗？
Embarrassment?
有点尴尬吗？
Would you have felt pressure?
你会觉得有些这个压力吗？
Or would it have ended in humility?
你会觉得很耻辱吗？
I know if I was David, I would have wished that I kept my mouth shut and not sent people into unnecessary harm.
我想如果我是大卫的话，我当时会后悔，我应该想，哦，当时我应该，没说那句话就好了。
David's deepest longing was to fulfill his calling as a king of the whole nation, but to only do so in the Lord's timing.
所以大卫其实他最深层次的渴望是，他想去成就，神对他应许的他的国度，但是他想按神的方式去成就。
We know this because he had already proved it, in the stories before.
因为我们知道这个，因为大卫已经证明了这一点，在前面的故事里面。
Remember, he could have killed Saul in a previous story, but he only cut a little piece off of his coat to prove to him that he wasn't trying to kill him.
记得在前面的故事里面讲过，大卫呢有一次本可以杀死扫罗王。但是他只是把扫罗王的这个袍子割下了一角，就是证明他没有无意要杀死扫罗。
Given the flask of water, David chooses instead of drinking deeply to his own longing, that he would pour it out before the Lord.
所以最后大卫就是当拿到这些这个从拿到这个水以后，大卫并没有把它。喝下去，然后而大卫也是把它泼出来，然后作为一种祭奠来，祭奠对神的祭奠。
It was God's responsibility to fulfill the longing in David's life.
因为是神的，是神要最终能够，去成就大卫的这个渴望。
It wasn't David's time.
所以那个时候还不是大卫的时候，还没到。
It wasn't David's decision.
那也不是大卫的决定。
And it wasn't about David's men or his might.
所以也不是关于大卫他的勇士或者那些勇士有多么的勇力。
Because a kingdom taken by force is not God's kingdom.
因为如果是靠这种人的力而得到的国度，不是神要给的国度。
So this strange story has some value.But how are we supposed to apply it to our lives today?
这个奇怪的故事呢是有一些价值，但我们今天怎么把这个故事应用在我们的生活中呢？
Most likely, few of us are royalty in waiting, but all of us have deep longings in our life.
对，很可能我们中间并没有谁要等着继承一个王权。但尽管这样，我们每个人的心里面呢，都有一个很深层次的科目。
Maybe it's to be married.
或许是想要结婚。
Maybe it's to be graduated.
或者是想要毕业。
Maybe it's to be parents.
或者做父母。
Or maybe to be empty nest.
或者把儿女赶走。
To be successful.
去成功。
To be more spiritual.
让我们更属灵。
To be understood or accepted,
被别人理解和接受
or maybe just to feel loved,
或者是感受到被爱了
or even as a church, we have maybe we want things to go easier,
或者作为一个教会，我们想让事情呢发展的容易点
we want the path to be smoother,
我想让我们的路更顺畅点
or to have the leader that we need,
或者来一个我们想要的教会领袖。
God has made promises to provide the things that we need and to be sufficient while we wait for that fulfillment.
神应许了他会给我们供应，而且他的供应够我们用。
In the end, David poured out the water as an act of worship.
所以在这个故事的末尾，大卫把那个水给泼出去，是作为一个作为一个worship, 作为一个敬拜。
David couldn't take the cup until he knew it was given to him from the Lord.
所以大卫不愿意去喝这个杯里的水， 直到他很确认那个时间是神 所定的时间了。
He couldn't drink from the well of Bethlehem until he was sitting at the gates because it had been given to him.
所以大卫呢不愿意在那个时候就喝从伯利恒打来的水，直到呢他能够坐在大伯利恒的城门边，已经在那里做王了。
If we think about this passage, this theme is kind of repeated in the life of Jesus in a couple of places.
如果我们想想这个故事呢，这个故事的主题实际在耶稣的生平中也发生了好多回。
There were a couple of times in Jesus's life where he had the opportunity to usurp the provision of God. God the Father. To take something instead of what God had provided.
Okay. 所以在耶稣的生平中有几次机会耶稣本可以去夺取或得到就神已经给他供应的东西。
The first was at his temptation.
第一个事情就是耶稣被试探。
Satan met with Jesus at the lowest point of his life and offered him the kingdoms of the world.
所以在耶稣最生活最低点的时候，撒旦见到耶稣要提供给要给耶稣许给耶稣可以把整个世界国度都给他。
But it was an illegitimate kingdom.
但那不是一个合法的国度。
It was all the places of the earth, but without the redemption of the people.
那个时候呢，那个国度呢是世界上的所有的国度，但是呢，但他没有对人民对人类的救赎。
And Jesus chose to delay instead of taking what was not his to have at that moment.
所以耶稣做的事情呢，就是他选择了去等待，而不是在那个时候去得到那个国度。
The second was in the Garden of Gethsemane.
第二次机会是在克西马尼园。
Jesus could have refused the cup of suffering.
耶稣本可以去拒绝那个苦杯。
But he knew that the cup of celebration had to include the cup of death.
但耶稣也知道那个庆祝的杯里面也包含了这个苦杯。
The point of this passage is to ask the question, how are we doing waiting on the promises of God?
所以这个故事的要重点呢，就是让我们知道，在我们等待神的应许成就的时候，我们应该怎么样的等待。
We know that some of those promises will only come when we meet him face to face or in his presence.
我们知道有些神的应许呢，必须是等到我们和他面对面的时候才会成就。
But some of those promises God wants to fulfill in our life now.
但有些成就呢，神会在我们的这个人生生命中间呢会实现。
But we have to be willing to wait on his timing.
但我们呢，必须得愿意去等神的时候。
Can you wait and believe, or can you believe that the wait is worth it?
你能够去相信等待是值得的吗？
Are there cups in your life that are even tempting you in this present world?
所以在你的生活中呢，在这个世界上呢，有那些会诱惑你的杯吗？
Cups that could satisfy you maybe for the moment.That you really need to pour out before the Lord.
所以那些杯呢，可能会现在满足你现在当时的渴望，但是即便你知道那杯你真的是需要把它泼在神面前。
Are you willing to trust that God sees your circumstances?
所以你愿意去相信当神在现在把这些机会给拿走的时候吗？
Can you trust that he hears your prayers?
你能够相信神其实听到了你的祷告吗？
Can you trust that he knows your heart?
你能够相信神知道你的心所思所想吗？
And as we wait, do we have a posture of worship before the Lord?
所以当我们等的时候呢，我们有没有这样一个姿态去去等神的供应呢？
As I said before, I still don't know everything that's happening in this passage.
就像我刚才说过的，我对这段经文还是不完全理解。
But I'm so thankful that David was willing to wait for the Lord's provision of the kingdom that he would provide.
但我还是很感恩这里面，大卫呢，是愿意去等候神去，成就他的应许。
Let's pray together.
让我们祷告。
Jesus, in light of knowing that there are many deep longings in this room, many things that we desire that still haven't come true. Some of those, Lord, we need to just put aside, and we need to be careful not to reach out and grab that which can only satisfy temporally, and really wait for that can satisfy eternally. Father, I pray that in this process, Father, that we would worship you, we would find you, experience your presence, and Lord, that you would give us the courage to wait for the provision that is most perfect for us, because you love us and you know us and you don't hold back that which is good. Give us the courage to do so, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.